The previous speaker gave me a really good introduction for this. So I'm Cindy Fake, and I'm a farm advisor. I'm a horticulture and small farms advisor in the foothills of Northern California. And I'm going to be talking about participatory research and education in extension, because as a farm advisor, I do both. And working with my colleagues, Bob Bonk and Dan Macon, both of whom are producers, but work for extension. So a little bit about farming in the foothills of Northern California. We have year-round production of fruits, vegetables, and nuts, a wide range of those. Our agricultural challenges include very high input costs and high land costs. There's no agricultural value to land. It's only development value. Very low to no agricultural labor availability and very little skilled labor. And as all of you know, horticultural labor is skilled labor. And it's very expensive. In addition to that, over the last few years, we have very increasingly unpredictable weather, which has impacted crops in a variety of ways, including having completely saturated soil for almost 2 months this spring. So for several decades, we in UC Cooperative Extension in Placer in Nevada have integrated farmers into our training delivery and field research to help us identify and solve those local ag programs. So as you know, farmers deal with multiple risks every day. And for many farmers, one of their risk management strategies is to rely on what's tried and true and has worked for them before, because they have so many risks they can't manage. And there's a lot of farmers who wait for another farmer to provide some kind of concrete evidence that a new method, a new practice, works before they're willing to try it. And that can result in slow adoption of new practices, which can be very have negative impacts for the farmers, because they may not be able to adapt to changing conditions, whether those are changing market conditions, climate change, dealing with doing things differently. And it can also impact the local environment if people don't want to give up, say, a broad-spectrum pesticide for some newer, better options, or don't have covered ground and we get 50 inches of rainfall and you lose your soil. So there can be some pretty negative impacts to not being willing to change practices. So there is some pretty good research out there. This is just one citation, but it shows that if producers know and trust each other, they're more willing to adopt practices used by another producer, and that's peer-to-peer learning. And that is the foundation of our training, extension, and research, that exchange of information and learning from each other. And what we found is when farmers are involved, information is disseminated much more rapidly. We call the farmer grapevine. It's a whole lot faster than Twitter or Facebook or any other social media. They know it moves very, very quickly. The other thing is when peers share the information, new practices are adopted very quickly, and it spreads throughout the agricultural community. So that's that networking and seeing, okay, this works here, I'm going to try it. So another thing is that producer involvement, whether it's in research generally or how outreach happens, that peer-to-peer sharing also helps fine-tune new methods or technologies, because people will try it and say, okay, I did it this way and it worked a whole lot better than that way. So that fine-tuning is then what's disseminated throughout the ag community. So what do we do? In terms of extension, trainer producers help develop training, they serve as trainers, they host on-farm workshops, and they share their expertise, their practice, their experiences. And that makes a huge difference. I'll cite a few statistics in a little bit about how that happens. The other thing we do is we do training in small peer groups. We like 15 or less, because then there's an opportunity for sharing. People can build trust among each other. And we have cohort groups of beginning farmers, commodity groups. I've got small Mandarin group, wine grower group. They will share information. What they used to, in the past, some of those same Mandarin growers, if people asked them for information, they would say, that's proprietary. They don't do that anymore. They're like, oh yeah, I can tell you how I do that, because they've learned from each other. So also in training, peer-to-peer feedback and advice are critical, especially for business planning in terms of making business decisions. The 80 different crops, our growers would be saying to folks, you got to look at the efficiency of that. If you're not doing time motion studies, you don't know whether all of those 80 crops are profitable. It's important for beginning farming, obviously, to build a cohort that people can share information, and also for risk management, because that's something that most growers don't really want to think about. But it's really important. Participatory research. The producers are involved in identifying research questions, the research design, and implementation. We don't have cooperative extension land to do any research on, so it's all on farm research. So it's hosted by them, and it always includes the standard practices that are in current use in addition to the practices that we're studying. So that means the participatory research mirrors the real-world conditions that they're working in and ensures that it's relevant and practical to what they're doing. And in many cases, producer input can change the research scope or direction or conduct. So in the last few years, we've been doing some research on Mandarin mulching. And in the first year of that research, we learned some critical information on irrigation distribution with overhead sprinklers, which then changed what we did the next year. We installed a whole lot more sensors to see exactly where the water was falling, because none of us realized the water was not going through the canopy. So outcomes. So using participatory research and extension validates farmer experience, their knowledge, and their practices, whether they're newer growers or longtime growers. It increases the speed and the rate of adoption. So from our mulching studies, at the beginning of the study, 18% of the growers mulched their trees before the trials or the field meetings. When they saw that the mulch reduced water use and tree stress, i.e. fruit drop and sunburn, improving the health of the tree and the production, 86% now mulch. That's in a 3.5 year period, from 18 to 86. The next one is 90% of citrus growers now prune. That's a little bit longer term, about 9 years. But 9 years ago, there were zero growers who pruned. And that reduces pest problems and improves fruit quality. Most of them in the survey that I did said they learned either from field meetings or directly from another grower. And a field meeting is in an orchard, the grower talks about his practices or her practices and shares why they do it, and then we discuss, and other people say, well, I do some of that, but I do this as well. And that's where the exchange happens. So having a cohort or a group that's participating in this encourages innovation. We've seen a lot of changes in production practices, and in business practices. We do very well at changing business practices. It creates a safe environment to try new approaches or practices. For example, this is a 110-year-old mandarin tree. We have a lot of very old mandarin trees that produce very, very high-quality fruit. If you know anything about citrus, with a trifoliate rootstock, it benches and the tree starts to die. This grower found out about inarching, which is planting a stalk that is going to, there's roots on each of these and it's feeding the tree. He has about 100 trees that are inarched. They're between 60 and 120 years old. And they are extremely productive, very, very high quality fruit. And that, when we started talking about that in field meetings, several other growers who had older mandarins did the same thing. And there's also a premium price for those mandarins. So this increases the producer's self-confidence, provides some leadership opportunities. So this grower was the leader in that practice. And it strengthens the community's ability to manage existing and emerging risks, such as climate change. And mulch for us in citrus has a big piece of that. So I think it's important to not just do technical outreach, but that community development outreach and creating a larger community, but also cohorts that can act as support groups for each other, and where information can be shared is really important. So thanks to all the farmers who volunteer their expertise, their experiences, and open their farms. Also my colleagues, Bob Bonk and Dan Macon, and we've had funding from Western Extension Risk Management Education and a California Department of Agriculture Specialty Crop Block Grant. So do I have a couple minutes?
Yes.
Questions? I know I went fast. Yes.
Oh, hi. Thank you for your talk. That was very interesting. Just a quick question about how are you reaching out to farmers in the first place to get them to attend the field meeting?
So a lot of it is we've been working a long time on building community. So we do beginning farming training for people. We do people who are just thinking about it, and then we do a very intensive one for people who've started planning. And that is sort of spread out by other growers will say, you know, they meet somebody and they say, well, I want to start a farm. They'll say, you need to go to this class. Right. Our farm business planning class is always referrals from other growers. You need to get your numbers in order. You need to go to this. So it's very much networked into the growers. You know, there are people that just come to us, but our extension network is much broader because we have this network of growers who are out actively talking to other new growers, people who are not aware of our existence, and they bring them to us.
Thank you.